Echoes of Al-Ghazali. His words still guide the seeking soul from knowing the self to reaching the goal. Echoes of Al-Ghazali.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, we once again welcome you in this beautiful program which is regarding Imam Al-Ghazali's famous book, Echoes of Ghazali, that is Ihya ul-Ulum, Ihya ul-Ulum fid-Din, inshallah. We'll be talking about today, introduction of this very book, inshallah. That will be the main topic. We've got few segments in this program also, inshallah. We'll take those segments also. Be with us from beginning till end. But before we proceed, let's make few good intentions. I make this intention that inshallah azza wa jal, I'll present this program for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. You're watching, you can make this intention. You'll watch from beginning till end. You'll remember what you learn, act upon, and pass this knowledge on to others. Because the more intentions one make, higher the reward he can attain. We can easily multiply amount of our reward too. Let me explain you the format of this program. I've got brother Waseem Abbas Attari with me, inshallah. We'll be going through the topic of the day, which I've already told you, that is introduction of the book of Imam Al-Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, and that is Ihya ul-Ulum. We'll give you some of the introduction, what other authors they have talked about, what other great awliya and scholars of Deen Islam they've talked about that book, and what does it contain, what treasure does it contain, what does it talk about. This is something inshallah we'll be talking about, because this program is based on this very book. It's a very good idea to talk first about this book, inshallah azza wa jal, so that we can easily and better understand what we're going to learn in upcoming episodes too. In this program, we have got one segment, that is Sufi Saints. We select one personality, and today, inshallah, we'll be talking about Baba Farid Ganj Shakar, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. We'll be learning about his life and legacy. And we've got one segment in this program, which is called Sufi Saint, the wisdom, in which you'll be learning few quotes of great personalities in the history of Islam, inshallah, azza wa jal. And one of the quotes of our Shaykh Tariqat Amir of Ahlus Sunnah also. So don't miss this very episode of Echoes of Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. But I would like to request you, ask your family members to come and sit in front of Madani Channel's TV screen and join in this very program. It's a very informative program. You're going to learn a lot. And this is something very important to teach our kids also, our family members also, so they can also benefit. Without any further delay, let's go towards our guest speaker, Brother Muhammad Waseem Abbas Attari. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
How are you doing, Waseem Abbas?
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. It's only, how are you?
I pray that this new Islamic year becomes a means of salvation, blessings for you, for us, and for all the viewers of Madani Channel. May this turn out to be an year which is full of blessings, full of good deeds, and a year in which we can perform Hajj. We can go and see Makkatul Mukarramah and Madinatul Nabi and all the brothers, whatever Hajjat, please, they've got. May they all come true, the Jais Hajjat. And may Allah remove difficulties and problems in this very new year. New year, new beginning, and new program.
Indeed.
Echoes of Ghazali. So how would you, inshallah, start with this very important topic where we are going to talk about the introduction of this very book. Last program, in this last episode, we discussed about the author, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And today, inshallah, we're going to talk about the treasure this book contains and how we're going to, inshallah, take it further with viewers of Madani Channel.
Inshallah. As we're discussing the introduction to Ihya ul-Ulum, it is very important to understand the subject that we will be discussing going forward. And of course, what Ihya ul-Ulum is, what themes have Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi chosen, why did he write it, what was the reason behind him writing Ihya ul-Ulum, and what other luminaries have stated about Ihya ul-Ulum, will inshallah give a little bit of good insight regarding the introduction of the book, so the viewers can also understand what we will be talking about. When we talk about Ihya al-Ulum, what we need to understand is it's not just an ordinary book. It is something you can consider it to be a great favor upon the Muslim Ummah, which Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh did.
Subhanallah.
Especially when we go through the reasoning, why he wrote it, what circumstances surrounded him,
what inspired him,
what he observed. Inshallah, we'll come to know that what a great favor Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh did. And Ihya al-Ulum is the crux of all his academic brilliance, everything that he possessed, and all that he brought together, it came in the form of Ihya al-Ulum.
Inshallah.
We know that he traveled far and wide for the service of Islam.
Right.
And his major part of traveling was also to Baitul Maqdis, to Palestine. And he stayed there for a very long time. And that is where he authored this masterpiece work, Ihya al-Ulum. And it is even stated that it was at Qubbatu Sakhra, the eastern corner, where he stayed as a mu'takif. He went in spiritual retreat over there. He went in i'tikaf over there. And he wrote this book. So every work of Imam Ghazali rahmatullah is remarkable. Every writing of his is amazing. But when we talk about Ihya al-Ulum, the renown, the acclaim that this book has attained, and the gems that Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh has spent in this very book is second to none.
Subhanallah.
And nothing matches the work of Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh, which is named as Ihya al-Ulum.
Right.
Now, of course, many other luminaries, they've also mentioned the greatness of this book. We will come towards that, inshallah.
But what did inspire Imam Ghazali rahmatullah? Did he mention it? Why
indeed.
Did he write this book?
In fact, at the very start, he himself mentions the reason for authoring this book. What was the reason? Now, what we need to understand is the awliya, they are observers of the ummah. And they're the observers of the state of the ummah. And then they remedy the problem that they observe and they come across. What is needed? Now, the same was the case during the time of Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh, what he witnessed, what he observed. And based on all that, he came up with this remedy. This was that prescription he came up with for all the ills that he saw, he witnessed, he observed within the society. Now, he writes in the introduction the very reason himself. So he mentions various issues. He mentions regarding people being involved only in this dunya. And he mentions that people, they've become negligent of the hereafter. They've become negligent of the importance of the hereafter, how severe the matter of the hereafter is, how crucial that is. People have become negligent of it. So he says that the hereafter is coming and this world is perishing. Death is very near. And the journey that we are to traverse, the journey of the hereafter is very long. And the provisions that we have are very scarce, they're very little. Then he mentions regarding the dangers that await us on this path of the hereafter. And only a person of knowledge, a person of foresightedness, he can understand this and he can fathom this fact that only that knowledge and that practice is acceptable, which is full of sincerity and only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's mentioning all this preface, he's mentioning the introduction over here. He's mentioning over here that despite there being so many difficulties, so many destructions in the path of the hereafter, what we need to understand is that traveling that path without any guide is very difficult and a means of exhaustion, a means of tiredness. And the guide on this path is knowledge, the ulama. They are the guide of this path who are the inheritors of the prophets, alayhi wasalam. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh, he is mentioning all this introduction, the reason. So he's saying that that path, we need guides. Who are the guides? They're the ulama. Who are ulama? They're the inheritors of the prophets. Then he says that in this era, after mentioning all this, he says that the society is void of these people.
Right.
We don't find such people. And they're only people, the people who are left, they're just for the sake of formality, who are existing within the society now. And he says that shaitan has taken over them and disobedience that has led them astray. Then he mentions that now the ilm, knowledge has become perishing and even the signs of guidance is wiping away from earth. And then he keeps mentioning about these problems, these issues, that what the how people are moving away from the thought, from the concern of the hereafter, the dangers of the hereafter, how they are just involved in this dunya.
And how old Buzurg is he? How old saint is he? Can you also please roughly, approximately 1,000 years ago?
Indeed.
So if you talk about, this is what he foresighted then. The situation that he's talking about was then, what he observed, what he saw. And then he thought to write. The viewers of Madani Shen, something we need to also understand and contemplate and ponder over the fact that since 1,000 years have passed and we are further away from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, best of all times. And that the further we go from that time, the situation is getting worse and worse and worse.
Indeed.
And now what would be the situation in this day and age of the manners, of the conduct, of the akhlaq,
they would have gone even more worse.
Or the muhlikats and all sorts of the things which are destructive in their nature and that could destroy someone. You see, nafs, shaitan and everything, what he is discussing thousand years ago.
Another thing that he discusses is that even the people of knowledge, why are they acquiring knowledge? They're acquiring knowledge to defeat someone in debate, so they can have their own name proclaimed and their own name renowned. So this is the reason why people are acquiring knowledge. So he's capturing these inner vices, the inner maladies that we have. He's capturing them and he's highlighting that these are the issues.
This has increased further in this
Exactly.
Age.
And then he basically summed up this entire discussion where he says that when it came to the path of Akhirah, and he now speaks about Salaf Salihin, about the noble predecessors, he says that they used to tread upon the path of knowledge. Mm-hmm. He's basically emphasizing the importance of knowledge. And when we say knowledge, not only for the sake of it, but the true connection, because remember, Rizwan Bey, when we acquire knowledge, no doubt we come up with the outward rulings. We do come up with them, but the main objective should also be the purification of the heart. Mm. So we can, for example, come up with the rulings of outward matters, for example, divorce or worldly matters or trade and this and that. But that spiritual enhancement that we should have also obtained through acquiring knowledge, if we are missing that, then there's a problem.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what was happening, what Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi pointed out, that people are acquiring knowledge just as
main
a sake of formality, as a sake of formality. These worldly legalities, sort of, you can talk about the worldly matters, trade, divorce, this and that. People are getting understanding of legal issues regarding
that.
But the actual essence, which was the purification of the heart, which was the purification of nafs,
that was ignored.
They are ignoring that. They are moving away from that. So Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi, he beautifully bridges this gap. That of course the outward legalities, they are also required, but the spiritual enhancement, that was the main objectives for acquiring knowledge, that shouldn't be missed. So he bridged this gap and this void which was filled. He comes up with that and he authors Ihya ul-Ulum. And then he beautifully mentions the path of Salaf Salihin, and he says that the path they treaded upon was the path of knowledge, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the name of fiqh, wisdom, knowledge, light, radiance, guidance in his book. Which seems to have been lifted from the creation, from the people, and people have totally forgot about that. Then at the end, he concludes this entire discussion that because there was a grave a gap in religion of all these things, hence was the reason why I came up with this solution and I authored this book, where I brought all these things together, where the outward matters could be bridged with the inward matters, and the actual objective of acquiring knowledge could also be obtained. So the spiritual enhancement that is being ignored can also be attained.
Taking your discussion further, Wasim Bhai, if we look at the fact that how important all these sensitive areas were, which were foresighted, seen, observed, and then for that reason he wrote a book to address those issues which were more related to one's heart. He also wrote about ibadat, he also wrote about mu'amilat, he also wrote about affairs, about the worship, he also wrote about munjiyat, which the actions which take someone towards Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's qurb and proximity. He also wrote about mu'alikat, which are the actions which take away someone from the qurb of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and that one becomes deserving of hell. So this is what is the main subject of this book, which we'll inshallah talk about. But one thing which distinguishes this book, I would like to specially address that, and the fact which we are discussing, that approximately 1,000 years ago, what was the situation? It has gone far, far, far worse.
Indeed.
So talking about these areas, talking about these subjects, right? It's very important, rather more and far more important than it was before.
In today's day and age.
In this day and age. Because, you know, the social media and name and fame and all things which are related to one's heart, you see, they have gone further, destroyed and worse.
A very practical example, Imam Ghazali mentioned that people nowadays, back then he's saying, people nowadays are acquiring knowledge to debate and prove a point that we are more superior than you.
Yeah.
So and this is exactly what we are facing in today's day and age.
So this program, inshallah, will help a lot of viewers to understand the essence of this book and the mindset and the philosophy of Imam Al-Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, which he wrote long, long, long ago. But it is still very much valid and suitable. But one thing which especially stands out in this book, and the people should be understanding the essence of this book, is about akhlaq, a subject which is known as conduct, mannerism, right? And Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam came to complete the mannerism. Nakarim al-akhlaq. Now, if look at Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam's beauty, that he was the best of all in terms of akhlaq. And Quran has mentioned, praised about his akhlaq, his conduct, his mannerism. And Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam encouraged each and every ummati to adopt the best manners possible. Right? The more good akhlaq one would have, the highest that deed would be on the scale of the Day of Judgment. This is how Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, because this is very important. Alongside ibadat, alongside worship, akhlaq are the most important elements in one's life. Okay? And akhlaq is something, conduct is something, not something, it's just one deed. It is a compile of so many other deeds. The person who would be of a good manners, he will not lie, he will not tell, he will not backbite, he will not fraud, he will not, you see, do any sorts of things which are not according to the teachings of Islam. So it is a bunch of so many good deeds. Then only a person can be a person of a good akhlaq and a good character and a good conduct, you can call. But this book especially talks about akhlaqiyat.
No doubt. And Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah, will talk about the sequence of the book as well, that how he has compiled it, what is the sequence that he has adopted. But just to conclude the discussion of introduction of the book, we can divide it into a few subheadings, three or four subheadings, to understand the reason. One was the death of religious knowledge.
Right.
What he felt. Then was the mixing of intentions for the ulama, the actual purpose.
Right.
And then the reduction of fiqh just to mere apparent things, what we mentioned earlier, and then the guiding the seeker, meaning the roadmap. So these were a few things which Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi, he had discovered among the society, where people had forgotten the true purpose of knowledge. And for example, we have a certain thing, there's a certain objective for that very thing. If we don't achieve that purpose, then of course that object wouldn't be as useful. But when it comes to knowledge, then of course all these things, the missing gaps which Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi observed, then he wrote this book to bridge the gap of the outward practice, meaning the outward matters which we mentioned before, with the inward realities. What are the inward realities? For example, sincerity, taqwa, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all those intangible matters basically, which are associated with our heart, something which iman and knowledge strengthens. So this void, basically, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi.
So this book is equally important for ulama, for scholars, right? For mashayikh, for arifin, for aqtab, for awliya, for ulama and sufiya, right?
Indeed.
All those, they are on the path, they are treading on the path of suluk, they are treading on the path of getting more closer and getting proximity in the path of Allah Ta'ala, rahmat Allah. Sufis, see, they are in the path of Sufism.
In fact, the aqtab, the aghyath, the awliya, the sufiya that you've mentioned, all of them, they've referred to this work.
To this. And they read this book.
They read this book.
They got benefit from this book.
They got benefit from this book. They used this book to get to the point where they were, to get to the station where they were. So this is a guide for the righteous elite.
Yeah.
Those who attain stations of excellence.
And they want to tread on the path of tariqah.
Indeed, indeed. So this shows how important this book is for us. Inshallah, we'll go through some of the elite luminaries, that what they said about Ihya'ul Ulum, and then inshallah we'll also speak about how Ihya'ul Ulum was accepted in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How Aqa alayhi salatu wasalam, he liked this book. We'll inshallah also mention that account, and then we'll also talk about the theme, how the book was sequenced by Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, which will show what a genius he was who wrote this for us, and we should
thank you so much. Respected viewers, you're watching this program in which we are today discussing about book Ihya'ul Ulum. An author is Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. We were talking about Rasulullah Bazbai, that the elite, the way they talked about, they praised this very book, subhanAllah. And whenever you talk about any book, it's very important that your contemporary scholars or the scholars of your time or those, they are highly acclaimed scholars. What do they talk about that? Right. What is their viewpoint? Even in this day and age, people, they go and ask for taqrees, and if they can read it and review it and they write some words for that, how did they find it? So it's very important. And the great scholars, when they talk about some book, this also tells how great work that has been put into that piece of work. So in front of me is Imamul Mukashifin Sayyiduna Shaykh Akbar Muhyiddin Ibn Arabi rahmatullahi ta'ala. What a great name in the history of Islam.
Shaykh
Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And those Ahli Ilm, they are much aware of his caliber, his scholarly brilliance, his status himself. What a great sheikh in terms of ulum of the diniya as well as tariqah. Okay, the way he was a next level scholar. So he say, it is written that he says that I would recite Ihya'ul Ulum sitting in front of Kaaba-i Mu'azzama. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So that great personality even read this book sitting right in front of Kaabatullah, and he would read it and he would take iktisab affairs from it, or he would benefit from this book and he would gain the blessings from this book. On top of that, he would read it right in front of Kaabatullah, and where was it written? In Baitul Maqdis. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was wrote this book, as you earlier said. And then another great personality, it is Sayyidina Abdul Ghafir bin Ismail Farisi rahmatullahi ta'ala. He says, no one has ever written this book before, likes of Ihya'ul Ulum. And there are many other names. I would ask you to please also mention few great scholars who have talked high about this very great masterpiece of Imam Al-Ghazali.
There are many. You have Hafiz Abul Fazl Abdul Rahim Iraqi rahimahullah. He says that on the subject of recognition of halal and haram, Ihya'ul Ulum is among the best books in Islam. Then you have Sayyid Kabir Ali bin Abu Bakr Saqqaf rahmatullah alayh. He says that if disbelievers, they read Ihya'ul Ulum, they will become Muslim.
Allahu Akbar.
He says
Allahu
it contains Akbar. Such secret that attracts the hearts like magnet. These are the noble elites we're talking about. Then we have Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayh, very famous scholar, subhanallah. He says that Ihya'ul Ulum is close to the Quran. Ihya'ul Ulum is close to the Quran, he says. Then we have the likes of Tajul Arifin, Qutb al-Awliya, Sayyidina Abdullah rahmatullah alayh. He had memorized Ihya'ul Ulum entirely.
Subhanallah.
Now this is again another excellence, that which book is normally committed to memory. Ihya'ul Ulum is among those works that a figure who's known as Tajul Arifin, as Qutb al-Awliya, he has memorized this book. And then he says, he advises that hold firm to Ihya'ul Ulum. He says that this is a means of the mercy and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. And he says that the one who loved it, the one who read it, the one who acted upon it, he has attained the love of Allah, his messenger, his malaika, and his prophets. And he has gathered together the sharia, tariqa, haqiqa of this world and the hereafter. And he has become alim in both realms.
Subhanallah.
He's saying this. Subhanallah. And further he says that to us, the criterion and the way is Quran and Hadith. Quran and Sunnah is the criterion and way to us. And this, meaning Quran and Hadith, has been defined and detailed to us by Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi in his matchless work, Ihya ul-Ulum.
He explained actually the Quran and Hadith.
He's explaining it, subhanAllah.
Subhan.
Then his brother, Sayyidina Shaykh Ali rahmatullahi, he read Ihya ul-Ulum 25 times
Allah.
From start till end. Every time he would finish, he would prepare a feast for the fuqara. Then, subhanAllah, Sayyidina Shaykh Abu Muhammad Qazaruni rahmatullahi, he claimed that if all sciences were perished, they were taken away, then I would be able to derive them back from Ihya ul-Ulum.
In other words, all ulum, they have been gathered in this very book.
Subhanallah. And the scholarly greats, they're claiming that if everything was taken out, we can derive all these sciences from Ihya ul-Ulum.
Subhanallah.
These are just a few quotes to mention.
But Wasim Masbi, it's not easy for everyone to get pearls out of ocean, isn't it?
Indeed.
The expert divers, they only go deep down, they dive, and then they recognize where the pearls are and how to get them out.
You need to be a certain level to understand the gems hidden.
So those, they cannot see those gems, those pearls, okay? They cannot claim that they do not exist.
Of course.
Because they're not expert of getting them out, isn't it?
Of course.
Only the experts, they get out. So these scholars, if they've said that, if all the sciences, all ulum, right,
they disappeared.
I would have taken them out from this very book. So this means that this contains such level of knowledge.
Those are towering figures of Islam.
Subhanallah.
You know, and then there's a beautiful narration.
And we are fortunate to do program on this very book. To be honest with you, the more we are doing program on this very book, so we are finding ourselves being fortunate that alhamdulillah, we have started this program. We're talking about Imam al-Ghazali, we're talking about this Ihya ul-Ulum, and those are also fortunate they have joined us, alhamdulillah, and they're watching and they will join us throughout this journey, inshallah.
Zanbi, let me mention to you, we've spoken about certain quotes of traveling figures of Islam. Let's go in the quote of our master, our savior, our intercessor, the final messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, how he, alayhi salatu wa salam, was pleased of this work. So Sayyidina Jamal Haram Abu al-Fath, Amir bin Najah, rahmatullahi, he's mentioning this, that he says, once I entered Masjid al-Haram and I fell in a state of drowsiness. And in the same state, I beheld Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He was wearing a very beautiful gown and upper garment and beautiful imama, subhanAllah. And then he says that Aima Arba'a, Imam Adam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Hanbal, Imam Malik. They one by one presented their madhab to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, he testified to that. He affirmed that. Then there was a leader of the heretics. He also sought permission to come, but upon the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was moved away from that gathering with humiliation. Then he says that I came forward and I submitted to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have this book, meaning Ihya ul-Ulum. This book contains the mentions of my beliefs and the beliefs of Ahlul Sunnah.
Subhanallah.
If you grant me permission, can I present it to you?
Subhanallah.
So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam granted the permission and he says that I started reading from the Bab Qawaid al-Aqaid, from the beliefs. And he says that I started reading Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim Kitab al-Qawaid al-Aqaidi wa fihi arba'atu fusul. Then al-fasl al-awwal fi tarjma di aqidah di Ahli Sunnah. And then he says that when I reached this point, وَإِنْهُ تَعَالَى بَعَثَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيَّ الْقَرَشِيَّ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَى كَافَةِ الْعَرَبِ وَالْعَجَمِ وَالْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ. When I reached this point, then the Prophet ﷺ's beautiful luminous face, the signs of happiness were apparent on it. Then Prophet ﷺ asked, where is Ghazali?
Allahu Akbar.
Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi, he instantly presented himself in the court of the Prophet ﷺ saying, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your servant is present. And he came forward, he said salam to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam also extended his hand, replied to the salam, and Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh kissed the hand of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Sayyiduna Jamal Haram rahmatullah alayh, he further says that day I saw the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to be in extreme state of joy. This is all after seeing Hayyul Ulum. So he says that when this state of drowsiness was removed from me, I had tears of joy in my eyes, he says. And then he further says that for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to testify to the madhahib of Aima Arba'a and to the Ihya'ul Ulum of Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, the chapter which he mentioned, this is a ni'mah, a great ni'mah in favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he prays further that may Allah Almighty allow us to live throughout our lives upon Sunnah, and may Allah Almighty make us meet our end upon Islam. This is the dua that he makes at the end.
But this is the acceptance of this book and the author and the quote of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Respect you, to be honest with you, we have not been able to do justice on this very topic also.
Indeed.
And we have really not touched the actual substance, what it contains. We have not even gone to that segment in which we would have discussed that what treasures does it contain and what subjects and how they have been segmented and how they've been presented and preserved in this very book. I believe we have to do another program on this. Probably next time, inshallah, we'll continue talking the same topic and we'll explore that what treasure.
We'll inshallah summarize.
Because we've got another segment also.
In our next episode, we'll quickly summarize this and then we'll move on to our topic.
Inshallah. We'll take it from there. Respect viewers of Madani Channel, now we've got another segment to include in our program, and that is Sufi Saints. Let's say, Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Echoes of Al-Ghazali, his words still guide the seeking soul.
Respect viewers, alhamdulillah, today the personality which we have chosen is a great personality in the history of Islam, and that is Baba Farid Ganj Shakar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. And inshallah today, in this very short span of time, we'll talk about a very brief biography, life and legacy of this great Sufi saint who ever graced the face of this earth. I would ask Wasim Abbas Bhai for a brief intro about this great personality, Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, what a personality. A personality who's known as Sultan al-Arifin, as Burhan al-Ashiqin, as Shaykh al-Islam. And Baba Fariduddin Mas'ud Ganj Shakar Faruqi Hanafi Chishti rahmatullah alayhi, known as. He was born in 569 Hijri or 571 Hijri, according to another opinion, which corresponds to 1175 AD in Multan, in one of the districts of Multan. And there are other opinions as well regarding his date of birth. Now, his actual name was Mas'ud and his title was Fariduddin Ganj Shakar. So what he is famously known with is his title, and his actual name was Mas'ud. And his lineage reaches that to the lineage of the second caliph of Islam, Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu. So his lineage is as following: Fariduddin Mas'ud bin Sheikh Jamaluddin Sulaiman bin Sheikh Shu'aib bin Sheikh Muhammad Ahmad bin Sheikh Yusuf bin Sheikh Shahabuddin Farrukh Shah Kabili bin Nasir Fakhruddin Mahmud bin Sulaiman bin Sheikh Mas'ud bin Sheikh Abdullah Wa'id Asqar bin Wa'id Akbar Abu al-Fath bin Sheikh Ishaq bin Sheikh Nasir bin Abdullah bin Umar Faruqi Adam Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. And ulama have mentioned, Rizwan Bhai, that Fariduddin Ganj Shakar rahmatullah alayh, he had 101 titles.
Allah.
These are the titles that were given to him, and they are very, very effective for the spiritual needs of people. And the famous ones are, of course, Fariduddin Ganj Shakar, that we
101 titles means there are 101 attributes associated to this personality who possessed that many qualities, that many attributes. That's the reason people gave them titles to him. Allah, what a great name. Masimah Masbi, when we talk about these personalities, one thing is important. These awliya Allah, friends of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, they have got a special association with knowledge. with Deen Islam. When we look at the personality of Baba Fariduddin Gandishaka rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, he did Hifz al-Quran.
Subhanallah.
He was Hafiz of Quran, and not only that, the initial knowledge what he sought, then he left Madinatul Awliya Multan Sharif to seek the knowledge, and he did learn Quran, Hadith, Fiqh, Kalam, and all other sciences also, the other sciences. So this was his knowledge in his association with Quran and Hadith. And every wali, whoever is wali of Allah Ta'ala, this is compulsory for him to have the knowledge of Deen Islam. Without the knowledge, no one can get to the maqam of wilayat, to the station of sainthood, which we are talking about in Sufi saints. And not only that, we also find another important and very compulsory element, that not only they have the knowledge, but they also have the amal. So ilm and amal, action, both are present in these personalities. So they act upon the sharia, and to gain what we were talking about in Ihya'ul Ulum, the spirituality, kind of, you see, the essence of that, to attain, they give their hand in the hand of a Shaykh Kamil, and they attain those akhlaq, those beautiful attributes, and especially they, you see, purify further their hearts in the presence of those shuyukh who are their Shaykh, Shaykh Kamil. So who was the Shaykh of Imam Fariduddin Gandishaka rahmatullahi ta'ala?
Subhanallah. Again, this his spiritual journey was also amazing. Khwaja Bakhtiyar Kaki rahmatullahi, another great name when we talk about the serve of Bakhtiyar Kaki rahmatullahi. He was the Shaykh of Baba Fariduddin Gandishaka rahmatullahi. And the point you touched upon regarding knowledge, this is also something which his Shaykh also advised him to do. And the incident of him becoming the disciple of Bakhtiyar Kaki rahmatullahi is also very interesting. And he was so much engrossed in knowledge that he would revise his lessons in the masjid. He would sit facing the Qibla and he would revise his chapters. Now, as Bakhtiyar Kaki rahmatullahi, he once entered the masjid in which Sayyidina Baba Gandishaka rahmatullahi was revising his lessons. At this point, he had not become his disciple as of yet. But as Bakhtiyar Kaki rahmatullahi enters the masjid, Fariduddin Gandishaka rahmatullahi felt a very pleasant environment around him. And what he does is he raises his eyes and sees this luminous face of Bakhtiyar Kaki rahmatullahi. So he gets up, he goes to him and sits respectfully in front of him. And Bakhtiyar Kaki rahmatullahi, after he finishes his tahiyatul masjid, now there was this discussion between him and Gandishaka rahmatullahi, and asked him that, what were you studying? And he mentioned the name of the book, An-Nafi' is the name of the book that I'm studying. And Bakhtiyar Kaki rahmatullahi, he mentioned, would this book benefit you? Because that's what it was saying, the title meant. And he said, I don't know about this, but your spiritual gaze will actually benefit me. And Bakhtiyar Kaki rahmatullahi became so pleased on the answer of Gandishaka rahmatullahi that he entered him within his discipleship. And as he was leaving, Gandishaka rahmatullahi also starts following him. As Bakhtiyar Kaki rahmatullahi, he was going back to Delhi, and here he was in Multan. And as he was following him, Bakhtiyar Kaki rahmatullahi advised him that first acquire knowledge duly, because without knowledge, a person is like a toy in the hands of Satan the accursed. So even at this point, he advised him to acquire knowledge. Then Gandishaka rahmatullahi continued acquiring knowledge. He became a proficient scholar. Then he went to the court of his sheikh as well. And then the spiritual journey continues even further. And the ranks that he attained, they're just beyond our imagination.
And, quickly, I would like to mention an account of Baba Fariduddin Gandishaka rahmatullahi ta'ala. Like you said that when he was stationed to that level, where was he? Respectfully, there was a person who came to the court of Baba Fariduddin Gandishaka rahmatullahi ta'ala, and he said that, I've got many daughters and I want to get them married, but I don't have financial means to do that. Baba Fariduddin Gandishaka rahmatullahi ta'ala took some clay in his hand and he recited Surah Ikhlas. That turned out to be gold. So he gave it to him. He said, go and get your daughters married. Now he went, he thought that I've got the formula to turn mud into gold. Now he went home, he gathered so much of mud And he started reciting Surah Ikhlas from morning till evening, but nothing was turning into gold. So there was some vice president sitting there. When he asked, "What are you doing?" He explained to him. He said that Surah Ikhlas is saying, but from where will you get the tongue of Baba Fariduddin Muhammad Shakar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh? These are great personalities. Let's take another segment in our program, and that is Sufi wisdom. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Echoes of Al-Ghazali, his words still guide the seeking soul.
A few minutes and few quotes, please. Over to you.
First quote we've chosen again from none other than Riduddin Gandhishakar rahmatullahi. And in Swanih Baba Farid Gandhishakar, it states, "Knowledge is the cloud of nobility." Again, knowledge, coming back to it. "Knowledge is the cloud of nobility from which the rain of mercy descends."
Subhanallah. Beautiful, beautiful.
The second quote that we normally mention is the quote, it is stated that enjoining right and forbidding evil are renowned medals of a Muslim.
Subhanallah.
Something very important for us. And then we go in the quote of our Shaykh Amir al-Sunnat, Mulana Ilyas Qadri Damat Barakatum al-Aliya. He mentioned in a Madani Muthakara, which took place on 17 Zulqadat al-Haram, 1445 Hijri. He mentioned that if a personal possession or that of another person appeals you, then say, MashaAllah, Barakallah, or similar words, to avoid afflicting it with evil eye.
Subhanallah.
This is something very, very important for us, as this happens quite often, that we do get pleased with a personal possession of ours or someone else's. Yeah. So we should make a habit of saying, MashaAllah, Barakallah, these kind of phrases, inshallah.
MashaAllah, subhanAllah. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, you were watching Echoes of Al-Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And in this program, you must have benefited, alhamdulillah, a lot. We'll be back, same time, same channel. Until then, keep watching Madani Channel, keep reciting Salat upon Nabi. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Echoes of Al-Ghazali, his words still guide the seeking soul, from knowing the self to reaching the goal. Echoes of Al-Ghazali.